and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. This is our Gospel for this Good Shepherd Sunday. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, for a few days after Easter this spring, we went down to see my parents in Ohio. When we were down in Ohio, we took the kids to Allwood Gardens and Farm. Allwood is a metro park outside of Dayton. They have a bunch of things there, including a lot of farm animals, so that the kids from Dayton who may not otherwise see a farm may visit there and see what a farm is all about. They had a lot of different animals at Allwood Farms, including sheep. And where were the sheep? Well, in a barn. With all the hay they desired to eat and fresh water whenever they wanted it. And if they so desire to venture out of the barn, they can go through the door and into an enclosing trapped in by a small fence. Pretty typical of today here in America. But that's not the life of a sheep 2,000 years ago in Palestine. Today we might refer to them as free-range sheep, scattered throughout the countryside, up hills and mountains and down valleys, searching anywhere for something green to eat, for some fresh water to drink. It's not like here in America. Most of Israel is pretty rocky. It's kind of hard to find something green, especially during the dry season in Israel. Often they'd have to walk for miles just to find something to eat. Let's imagine all these sheep scattered throughout the countryside, the unfenced countryside. A shepherd sits on top of the hill watching over his flock as they scattered all over the place. Not a bad way to raise a sheep, but it's a hard and difficult way. Not only did you have to find enough food and water, but there are also the predators. In David's day, there are lions and bears. There's hyenas and wolves and many other predators that a sheep faced day after day. That's why a shepherd was so important. See, a sheep is a defenseless creature. It has no natural defenses. It's not big or strong. Doesn't have a large mouth with sharp teeth. Doesn't have huge claws. It's not fast so that it could run away. It's helpless against its enemies. Sheep is also quite stupid. Most animals are able to find food by themselves, are able to find water. Not so with sheep. And that's what made the shepherd so important, so it can defend the sheep against enemies, against predators, and so that it can lead the sheep to green pastures and to running water. Now we like to compare ourselves to different animals. Always strong as an ox, or sly as a fox, or free as a bird, or proud as a peacock, or angry as a hornet. But we're not oxen, or foxes, or hornets. We're sheep. And you all know the simile for a sheep. He's gentle as a lamb. But God doesn't call us sheep again and again because we're gentle. No, he calls us sheep again and again because we are like sheep. We're helpless and hopeless against our spiritual enemies. We can't defend ourselves. We can't find nourishment, true nourishment for our soul on our own. We need a shepherd. A shepherd to guard us and protect us against our enemies. We need a shepherd to show us the truth. At the beginning of chapter 9, the chapter before our text begins, Jesus healed a man who was born blind, gave sight to a man who was born blind. He did that on the Sabbath. Later that day, Jesus saw that man, and he asked him concerning himself, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Not only had Jesus given this man physical sight, but more importantly, he had given this man spiritual sight. And the man answered that he did believe in Jesus. Contrary to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, a religious Jewish sect with a high political clout in Israel, they already rejected Jesus as the promised Savior. And when they found out that Jesus healed this man or gave sight to this man on the Sabbath, they were furious. And they attacked Jesus and all his followers. And they started kicking out everyone in the temple who believed or followed Jesus, including that man. And then they attacked Jesus himself. Jesus responded to those Pharisees by saying that they were the ones who were spiritually blind. And then we get to the words of our text. A parable spoken about the Pharisees, contrasting the Pharisees and the true shepherd, Jesus. Pharisees were thieves and robbers, and Jesus was the one true shepherd. Now this parable that Jesus used was about a sheep in their sheep pen. Now in Israel at that time, a sheep pen had four walls, high walls to keep the sheep in and to keep predators out, with one gate in the front guarded by a doorkeeper. Not only did it hold sheep from one flock, but it was probably large enough to hold sheep from several flocks. So in the morning, the shepherd would walk in to the pen and call his sheep by name, and the sheep who recognized that shepherd and knew his voice would follow that shepherd out of the pen, while the sheep of the other flocks would stay in that pen. They would only follow someone when they recognized his name, when they recognized his voice. In our text for today, Jesus never explicitly says that he is the shepherd. It's heavily implied, of course. And in a few verses after our text, he would say just that. For instance, he says in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." In the letter to the Hebrews, which we will read as our blessing for today, we see that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. And as a shepherd, he is to be trusted. He has nothing to hide. He knows each and every one of us by name. He knows us, and we know him. We recognize his voice through his holy word. In the verse after our text, in verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." We know Jesus is our shepherd by what he has done for us. Think of David in our first lesson for today. Twice, on two separate occasions, a lion came and stole one of his sheep, and then a bear stole one of his sheep. And what did David do? He ran after that lion, and he ran after a bear. That's what a true shepherd does. He puts his life on the line. He risks his own life for his sheep, because each and every one of his sheep is dear and precious to him. A false shepherd will not do that for a sheep, for he does not care about those sheep. But Jesus not only put his life at risk, no, Jesus willingly went toward his death. Jesus knew he was going to die upon that cross. Jesus knew that he was going to suffer for our sins by taking them upon himself, becoming guilty of everything we have done wrong. He knew that he would suffer through the pain and torment of eternal hell that our sins deserve. So not only did Jesus give up his life willingly for his sheep, but he also suffered through hell willingly for his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. And of course, we know that he rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, we know that we too will rise from the dead. And through faith in him, we know that we will live with him in heaven forever. So through him, through this good shepherd, we have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. He saves us from our spiritual enemies. We were completely helpless and hopeless as sheep. Dead in our transgressions and sins, we were on our way to suffer in hell forever until our good shepherd saved us. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. But Jesus isn't just a shepherd. Jesus also refers to himself as the gate. Now, the purpose of the gate in the sheep pen was simple. Through the gate, the shepherds entered and the sheep left the pen. With high walls all around the pen, there's really only one way out. Now, a thief might be able to climb the walls and get into the pen, but there's no way he's going to be able to throw a sheep over the walls of the pen. So there's really only one way out, through the gate. So that gate provides comfort and assurance. That gate, you leave through the gate to find pasture, and you enter through the gate to find protection. And Jesus is our gate. It is in Jesus that we have protection, for he guards and defends us against all our enemies, both physical and spiritual. Our shepherd protects his sheep. There are many dangers that we face day after day, many of which we don't even realize. God shields us from those dangers. He keeps us healthy. That car accident is avoided. The devil asks to sift us by wheat, but the Lord sends him away. He leads us away from temptation and delivers us from evil. He is our care and he is our protection. When we pass through that gate of Jesus, we know that we are safe. And of course, they left the pen, went through the gate to find pasture. And it is through Jesus that we find our spiritual pasture, food for our souls. As Jesus says in verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Those who enter through Jesus will be saved, because he is the only way to eternal life. As Jesus himself said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We are saved by Christ alone. We can't do anything to be saved. Salvation is not found outside of him. He alone has the words of eternal life. He alone is the gate. And when we enter through that gate, we find pasture, fed and nourished, which he does through the gospel. Through baptism, as we saw today, the Holy Spirit brings us to faith. Our sins are washed away, and we are welcomed into God's family as he clothed us with a robe of Christ's righteousness. Through the word, he nourishes and feeds that faith. He comforts us through the message of his gospel, and he keeps us in the one true faith until he takes us safely home to live with him in his house forever. That is why our shepherd came, to save us. As he points out in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came because he cares about you. He did not come to hurt or harm you. He did not come to force you to obey certain laws. No, he has come to guard you and protect you. He has come to suffer in your place, to die for you, to rise from the dead. Our good shepherd has come to give you forgiveness of sins and eternal life, so that you may have life and have it to the full, as the NIV says, or as the Greek really says, that you may have life exceedingly, or more than enough, or overwhelmingly, or overflowing. The point is that you will have life, eternal life in heaven, that's far greater than any life here on earth, exceedingly greater than anything on earth. More than enough you will have in heaven. The eternal life that awaits for you in heaven is more than you will need. It's overflowing. Exceedingly great. Exceedingly greater than all you can ever ask or imagine. That is why your shepherd came. To bring you to faith, so that he can bring you to heaven, where you will dwell in his house forever. So what do you as sheep do? Well, you follow Jesus and you run away from everybody else. Run away from others who do not teach the same things as our Lord teaches. As he says in verse 5, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. That's hard at times, isn't it? Many a sheep have been led astray by false shepherds, enticed away. After all, the devil disguises himself as a sheep and as a wolf in sheep's clothing. He tries to entice away from Christ by scratching people's ears, by teaching people what they want to hear, despite what God's word says. It's enticing. Some of their teachings, they make sense. They go along with their reason. They're not contrary to reason, which much of God's word is. It goes along with the way you want to live your life. He collaborates with our sinful nature. And so we are easily enticed away from what God's word says. The devil tries to get us to wander from his flock, to live a life that the world wants to live, or to follow our use of reason or other false teachings. But the sheep don't follow the false shepherd. You can tell that the voice is different. Something is off. What they teach is different. You don't recognize it. But you recognize the voice of Christ. You know him by what he has done. You remember everything that he has done to save you. And so you run away from what is false and cling to the true shepherd. As he says, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Our shepherd knows us by name, and we know him through his holy word. We have seen what he has done in the past for us. We know that he loves us and cares for us. For as a sheep follows his shepherd, we as sheep follow our true shepherd, Jesus Christ. For he will lead us to the green pastures of eternal life. And we know that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds to faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.